And in our study of Jeremiah, the years are going by. Nebuchadnezzar is going to come in and out of Jerusalem, Judah, three times in 586, which hasn't happened yet. He's going to level the city and the temple. Now, so the people, instead of knowing all this, having all kinds of forewarning, all kinds of evidence of what's going to happen, they just refuse to change. They refuse to see the problem, refuse to deal with the problem, and thus the problem isn't going to go away. Now, in chapter 17, we share together that their heart is so hard that the iron pen with a diamond point, which is so very, very hard, couldn't even mark if you etched it on their heart. Their heart is so hard that diamond point can't mark it. That's hard. The heart is like that. A diamond can't cut it with an iron pen that's strong. Now, having said that, then God goes and helps us and the people that would listen. He helps us understanding the problem. And we share together in chapter 17, verse 5 and 6, that the man, the average human being that's going to trust in themself, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. So the person who's going to continue to be self-satisfied, self-sufficient, and is going to trust themselves, then as they do that, they're going to find that it isn't going to work. How so? Well, it's going to be like if you keep doing that with all your heart and keep trusting yourself, and cursed be the person that trusts in themselves, then you're going to be like the heath, the little juniper bush in the middle of the desert that just has no dry, no moisture, nothing around it, in it, about it. For it shall be like the heart, verse 6, shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, no good, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, no life, only death, and wilderness in a salt land and not inhabited. So that's what's going to be. Now, the person that's going to have a heart like that, and if you persist in doing that, it's not going to go, there's no way to get anything out of it. No way for good to come. On the other hand, God said, if you trust God instead of that, then the man will be blessed, verse 7, that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. So the person who's going to turn to God and look to God is going to be blessed. And they're going to be like a tree planted, verse 8, by the waters, spreadeth out her roots, by the river, shall not see when heat cometh, no problem with green, always green leaves, no problem with drought or wind or wind, sleet or snow, or nothing. The plant would just keep blossoming, blooming, growing, no matter what, anything, anywhere, anyhow. Now, but, you would say, well, why wouldn't a human being choose that instead of the desert? Why wouldn't they choose the tree? But they don't. They just don't. So then, God, you're going to help us. I am. He's going to help us understand why. Verse 9. For the heart, the problem with the heart, it's a heart problem. The problem with the heart is deceitful, and deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So the heart is terribly, terribly deceitful, inscrutable. You can't change it. It's bound up to be tied up together in a big ball, and you can't unwind it. You can't change it. It's just set. It's inaccessible to do anything to fix it. And Not only is it deceitful, but it is desperately wicked. And we share together that little word, sick, ill, incurable. So the heart is so intricately apart from God, so wound up, that it can't get any better no matter how you do it. And incurable means, desperately wicked means incurable. It can't get help. There's no way to get it healed. No way to help it. It's like having a disease you can never fix. A problem you can never solve. No solution coming anywhere, anyhow, in any way, shape, or form. So God said the problem is a heart problem. And since it's a heart problem, and you have to understand, the human heart, in and of and by itself, trusting itself, verse 5 and 6, the human heart trusting itself like this, trusting itself, can never solve it. Cursed be the person who's trying to make their life right, trying to have it come out good, trying to have it end right, trying to have it work out right next week, etc. And you're trying to all do that in the light of a holy, wonderful God. You can't do it. The heart is unfixable, incurable. It can't be fixed, no matter how you do it, in any way, shape, or form. So why do people choose stupid things? Go in the wrong direction. Keep thinking, believing that which is absurd. Keep doing things that are wrong. Why? Because the heart, in and of itself, by itself, trying to work itself out, all by itself, there is no solution. So if you and I are trying to work it out by ourselves, there isn't any solution at all, none whatsoever. Now, having said that, we share together in verse 10, the heart, again, God helping us, the heart is deceitful, verse 10, I, the Lord, search the heart. I'm searching the heart. I am doing it on a regular basis. I'm looking at your heart. I'm checking your heart. All the time I'm checking your heart. How is your heart doing? I, the Lord, search the heart. And the word search means to dig through, to examine, to thoroughly examine, to search, to examine, to dig down to see if there's anything anywhere, anyhow, to dig through. I, the Lord, the heart, verse 10, I, the Lord, search the heart. I am searching the heart and trying the reins. Remember the reins, kidneys, they're the inside, down the inside of the heart, kidneys, all the inwards, the little word interior, everything on the inside, including the heart. And God said, I search the heart, I'm doing it, verse 10, and I'm trying, testing, proving, putting to the proof. I'm trying the reins, the kidneys, the inside. I'm checking the inside. I'm going to the very core of the problem. And where is the core of the problem? Your heart is so hard that I can't write on it. I can't make any impression at all on your heart. It's a heart problem inside of you. It isn't on the outside. It isn't what you eat or where you that. It's a problem on the inside. Now, and we shared that together. That's why it's an age-old, historic, secular, sacred problem all the way into the millennium. It's no matter the best environment in the world, it won't do a thing to fix anything. It won't fix the heart. The heart, it's a heart problem. And you have to want to do something. You have to want to... Your heart has to want to do something. Now, so here in verse 10, even to give every man, so in the midst of the heart, I should say, just to look at that another spot so you see it a little better, over to Psalm 139, you would be knowing, Psalm 139. And in Psalm 139, you would recall the very first statement, verse 1. O Lord, thou hast, God, you did it, you searched me. You searched me, Thou hast searched me and known me. So God, you already know, I do. I know the condition. And I, the Lord, search the heart. I do that. So now, David, that's the psalm. It's all about you can't hide. There's no way to get away from God who searches the heart, who searches the interior. There's no way to hide, nowhere to go to get away. So when you come over to 139, picking up in verse 23. Here's a little verb again. Search me, O God, and know, there's your word, my heart, and try me, there's your word, and know my thoughts, God. So I know you search me. I need to know what you're finding. The doctor does his diagnosis, and the doctor knows what he finds. Doctor, tell me, what are you finding? What are you finding? What are you telling Israel by way of Jeremiah? Your heart is so hard, I couldn't write in it with an iron pen and a diamond point. That's how hard your heart is. So God, you're helping Jeremiah, you're helping Israel be very conscious of the condition. So there's no hidden, nothing hidden, nothing going to show up. God, you're telling the problem. So the problem is solvable because you know the problem and you're trying to help the people understand to make a distinction. And you're trying to help them. So God, you search the heart, and verse 24 of 139, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. God, I need you to go and search me, and so that I can see what to do. I want to know what to do about my problem. That's what I want to know. Now, so in the light of that, over, if you back over to Jeremiah, and Jeremiah chapter 17, and you would recall, or remember, in verse 10, I, the Lord, search the heart, I try, examine, put to the proof. I put to the proof the inside of the heart. I know everything that's going on inside. Even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doing. So God, you're going to give to every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doing. Now, and God, so here we are. We're either going to be, verse 5, cursed, and be like a heath in the desert, little bush dried up and dead in the sense of its environment. And we're either going to be like that or we're going to be like a tree. God, you know. You already know. And we have to make a decision. And that's what you've been pressing Israel to do, to make a decision, to trust you, to trust you, not to trust themselves, not to trust Egypt, not to trust Assyria, not to trust anybody, to trust God, not to do that. They need to do that. Now, remember the word trust, to hang on to rely onto something, to rely fully on it with all your heart, to trust, hang on to it, don't let go. It isn't going to break. It's going to support and sustain you. So hang on to God, and he will hold you. He will support you. He will keep you. Trust in the Lord at all times, Psalm 62 and all of that. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, in verse 10, every man according to his ways. So, God, here we are, and we're going to trust you according to our ways. And in the process of doing so, we want to remember, we're going to be trusting you with all our heart. That's what we want to do. We want to get that clear in our head and in our heart, of what we're doing. So now, let me do one other thing first. Over, if you would, to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 26. In Isaiah chapter 26, remember now, God tries the heart, and we're to trust God and not the heart. We don't want to be like a dried up bush, dried up in the desert, as it were. We want to be like a tree flourishing all the time. So now, God, that's how it, the difference. That's what we have to choose. And in Psalm 100, Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah chapter 26. In the day, I'll start with verse 1. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and for bullocks. So there's no need to have anything. God, in the presence of God, God is the wall. God is the protection. That's like when you put on the whole armor of God. God is the protection. God is. I can't see any armor. I can't see any protection. God said, I am your protection. I handle every germ, every particle of dust, everything going on inside of you, everything going on outside of you. Well, so you're trusting me. That's right. Now, and thus, we come down to in verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because, what reason? He's trusting. There's the little verb to hang on to rely upon. Because the person is trusting God. And so if you're going to trust God, you're going to be kept, you're going to let God support you, hold you, sustain you, then you're going to be kept in perfect peace. And, verse 4, same verb, trust ye, command, trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord, Jehovah, is everlasting strength. So there's your verb again. So we're going to go and trust you, God, with all our heart. That's what we're going to do. Now, having said that, now, so we're going to trust you. Now, we just read, you don't have to go back there yet, in Jeremiah 17:10, and in all your ways, I'm going to judge you in all your ways and in all your doings. Now, God, you told us to trust you with all our heart. That's what you told us. Now, over to Isaiah 55, where you're here. Isaiah chapter 55. And you would recall, may I go to verse 6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, his way. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For reason, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. So no matter how you think about things, and no matter how you feel about anything, and think about things so ever seriously, and whoa, God said his thoughts are higher than yours. So when you're all done gripping and grabbing onto the thoughts and trying to get them, and then you know where little thought, our thought is down here, God's thought's here. So what are we going to do? We're yielding. You want hanging on to your thoughts? Because your thoughts are just yours. Your ways are just yours. And you let go. Because God's ways are higher than the heavens. So I yield. Wow. But you had a good thought. Wasn't it a nice thing? It may be. But you give it to God for his thinking and his outworking. You're going to trust him, relying on him with all your heart. That's what you're going to do. And in the light of that, verse 9, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Sliding down, if I may. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. God, we just said you'd be like a tree planted. That's right. And if you're going to honor me, my words and my ways are higher than the heavens, and I'm going to do something wonderful. Just like the rain coming down with billions and trillions of raindrops, and the snowflakes falling by the trillions and trillions, all of them different. God, you're going to do that. That's right. I'm going to do it. And now apply it for us, God. Okay. Verse 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Now, God, you're going to do what you said according to your thinking. Now, what are we going to do? We're going to trust him. God's going to do what he said, his word. His ways and thoughts are higher than the heavens, and we're going to trust him. All kinds of things to trust. I got this and got that. Well, that's right, but I'm not holding any of that, not too much. Going to trust God. Going to trust God, do everything that makes good sense and common sense within reason, and do all of that, but I'm going to trust God. I'm not holding on to anything too tight. Nothing. Not that tight. Nope. Just you, God. Going to hang on to you with all my heart. Now, and having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, God, you're going to work out all things. Over to Jeremiah back, chapter 32 for a moment. Jeremiah chapter 32. And you will note, may I go directly in the light of the context, verse 19. In the same area, I'm going to read, it's such a wonderful thing, I'm going to read verse 18, the whole thing is, thou showest loving kindness unto thousands, verse 18, and recompensest the iniquity of the fathers unto the bosom of their children after them. So, God, we keep reaping what we sow. The great and mighty God, the Lord of hosts is his name. Great in counsel, mighty in work, for thine eyes are open upon all the ways of the sons of men, to give every one according to his ways, there's your word, according to the fruit of his doings, there's your word. God, you're going to reward us based on our ways and what we do. Because we're evidencing where our heart is. And God, we're going to reap what we're not going to trust ourselves, then we're going to be stuck with that, and we're going to have to live with that. Now, so God, we're looking to you to deal with us according to your good pleasure. Over, if you would, to chapter 10 of Jeremiah. His ways and his doings, God, we're going to be judged by them. And picking up, if I can, chapter 10. And, going to verse 23. O Lord, remember we did all this. O Lord, I know that the way, there's your word, the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. O Lord, knowing that we can't trust ourselves, O Lord, correct me, but with judgment, not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. God, Israel, what's going to happen to you? Jerusalem and Judah, you're going to get leveled. The whole thing is going down. I warned you all those years. I told you, I gave you plenty of warning, and you wouldn't change your heart. You wouldn't trust me. You continue to trust your own self, and now you're going to reap the consequences. And that's just what's going to happen. Now, chapter 12 of Jeremiah. And Jeremiah, looking at it all, looking at Babylon coming in, etc. Chapter 12, verse 1. Righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee. Yet let me talk with thee of thy judgments. Mm-hmm. Wherefore doth the way, there we are, of the wicked prosper. Well, see how good they're doing. Everyone's happy year after year. Nebuchadnezzar's coming. They keep adjusting to the new conditions. But so if the gas price goes up or something else goes up, health care goes up, something else happens, and it's all right, we adjust to it. Wherefore, verse 1, doth the way of the wicked prosper? Why is that? Wherefore are all they happy? They're content. They're content in their blindness and deafness, in not seeing. They're going in the wrong direction, and terrible things are going to happen. But they're very happy. So therefore, I want to have friends. They're happy. And I don't want to, if I go with them, they're going to have to think like they do and feel like they do. So God, here I am looking, and my problem is, God, they seem to be having such a good time when everything is going downhill and everything is ominous. Wow. Verse 2. Thou hast planted them, yea, they have taken root, they grow, yea, they bring forth fruit. Thou art near in their mouth, and far from their reins, their kidneys. They don't want anything to do with you, God. They're going to talk about everything. They're going to talk about you and make believe about you in some form. Just think of all the times, and God bless America, and all those things. And people do it. That God, and we'll pray to God. They do all kinds of things. And they do that. Now, so having said that little bit, over to chapter 7 again. And in chapter 7, picking up, remember now, this Jeremiah at this point, remember, he was standing outside the temple. The temple is still up. He's standing outside. The people are coming in and out, worshiping all the different things. And he's standing there shouting out a message. He had good lungs. And he shouted out the message and shouted out the message, which was chapter 7 and in verse 3. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amen, amen. That means to make well, to make good, to make it good. The word to make shine, to make something shine, beautiful. And then well, to be good. Verse 3. Thus saith the Lord, the God of hosts of Israel, amen, your ways. In other words, here's your ways and your doings. There's your two words. Make them right. I'm going to judge them. I'm going to judge your ways and your doings. Now, why don't you amend them, fix them, and make them in the right direction, not in the wrong direction? Think of Nineveh, Jonah. Nineveh never got saved, but Jonah went in, and the Ninevites, contrary to Jonah's heart, the Ninevites repented. They didn't get saved. They just fixed things. And they had another 100+ years God gave them. They didn't get saved. They just changed their ways. Think of the days with Billy Sunday and all of them, when the evangelists would go up and down, and Whitfield and Wesley and all of them. And people would stop going to the bar rooms and prostitution and all kinds of things. They'd fix their life. And people didn't like it because they lost some of their business, understandably. And therefore, they didn't like that. Now, so here's Jeremiah, and God is telling him to change their ways. Verse 4, trust ye not in lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. If we just have some religious, the temple was there. They're coming out of the temple. They're going into the temple. The temple isn't going to save them. God is going to save. The temple's just a temple. And the temple without God is just a bunch of wonderful marble, gold, and silver. The burning bush with Moses is just a bush. And it's been a bush, just a bush, for the few moments that God was in it. It was a special bush. And after Moses left, put his shoes back on and left, the bush was just ordinary. God makes it work. The cross, the symbol, the rituals, all of those things, people do them to try to whatever. And without God, none of those things are any good. They just don't work. They just don't work. Spin the prayer wheel 4,000 times. That doesn't matter if you spin it 10,000 times. Won't make any difference. Now, so here's Jeremiah again. Verse 5. For if you thoroughly amend, there's your word, to do well, to do good, your ways and your doings, there's the two words, If you thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if you thoroughly do that, then God, you're going to bless, you're going to do a wonderful thing. That's correct. Verse 23. But this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people. And walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be, and there's your little word, amend, well. It may be well with you. I want it to go good for you. I don't want it to go bad. I want it to go good. But you got to honor me. And they weren't going to honor him. They didn't honor him. Now, having said that little bit, now, God, we're looking at that. So, God, what are you looking for? Well, you're looking for new. You have to make everything new. That's what you're going to do. Now, God, there's no question that's what you do. Over to Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah 31. And remember now, this is Israel's future. They have their wonderful expectation of the future. Jeremiah 31. And picking up, if I may, in verse 33. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their heart and will be their God, and they shall be my people. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that for them. I'm going to make a difference for them. Now, in the process, here we are looking, God, and we're looking, and you're going to do something wonderful. It has to be happened. It isn't the heart until something changes. So, I had a thing that I had to improvise to do it, but I didn't have that. You'll remember once I had a bag of potatoes, but we don't have any potatoes. Don't buy any. Just don't have any. Now, this is you. This is your heart. Okay? This is a human heart. Any heart. Now, and we have to do things and think of things and work out things. Our school, our work, our home, that's what we have to do. And we have to think about it and dishes and everything. What do we do? That's living our life. That's right. And so what do we do? Well, every time we're doing it, morning, noon, and night, we pull out, and there's an apple. Apple. Now, that's what I pulled out, an apple. Now, and I'm done with it. I'm going to put that in. But if I go back in, I have something else come up. And what? Another apple. Another apple. I got to do something else. Another apple. Now, Zach, can you just check that for me? What's the hope of getting something else out of there?
Nothing.
Here, say it big, loud.
Nothing.
Nothing. Because they're all apples. That's your heart. Do you understand? No matter what you do. You're going to go to church Sunday. Good. You're going to go do this at work. Good. You're working out of your heart. Do you understand? No matter how you cut the cookie, you're pulling it out of here. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you're pulling it out of here. Now, so God, that's our heart. It's desperately wicked. And you say, well, it isn't. No, I care. Watch what I do. Well, go ahead. You're going to get the same thing out of your heart. You get the same thing. So God, what do? God said, listen, I'm going to make a new heart. I'm going to make a new heart. Now, how are you going to make a new heart? When you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, what happens? Well, you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, and you become a new creature. True? 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have passed away, everything become new. So God, now, so when I receive you as my Savior, all I got is this. But God, when I receive you, now, I have the same bag of apples, but I have the option of pulling out this. Do you understand? I don't have to pull out an apple. That's all I could do until I came to know the Lord as my Savior. And now I can pull out something else. God's wonderful. I'm going to trust Him. I'm not going to trust myself. I'm going to trust Him. And I have the right to choose this because I received Him as my Savior. Now, and when you think about it, think about God. What about heaven and earth? Yeah, all kinds of things. God's going to make what? Everything old and new. What isn't He going to make new? Find something He isn't going to make new. Everything is condemned on the cross. It's got disease. You can't keep any of it. You cut this part off, but the disease is up in here. And the disease is up in here and up here. And where do you stop? You say, well, I get the bad part. This is the part of me, what I say, what I do. But then what about the rest of you? What about the rest? Well, that wasn't so bad. But what's the difference? It's all apples. It's all bad. And it's only you. That's all you can pull out of you is you. So my hope is you-ness. My hope is you. My hope is me. My hope is me. Yay for me. See, we got that. Now, so God, here we are. And we're looking. God, you have to deal with us. Now you say, where's my bag? Oh, yeah. Let me do one other thing. I'm going to take out that, my grapefruit. Now, all I have is apples. Bag. Now, you say the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. How so? We can go and do human good, can't we? I can go help the little old lady across the street. I can do all kinds of things that humanly are good as opposed to bad. Can't I do all of those things? Don't I care? I try to do my job at work. I try to do my schoolwork. I try to do everything okay. Aren't I trying? Yes, you are. But you're all in yourself. Now, what's missing? Show me anything in all of your life, morning, noon, and night, every word you said, everything you do, all that you want to do, wish to do, dream to do, find me a rightness that God will honor. Find me something in your life that God will honor. Apart from His Son. You can't find it. It isn't there. Do you understand? That's what God says missing. Light. We love darkness. But we think and we live our whole life in darkness. But God said, where's the light? Where's the right? Where's your relationship to God? Tell me about your personal relationship to Almighty God. Personal. Let's listen. I want to hear about your personal relationship to God. Personally. You're going to talk about it like you talk about if you got a pain or something. It's personal. Wow. So God, here we are looking, and everything's here, but we're disconnected. And remember, we shared it 100 times. Just think of the electronic world. Your little smartphone and all the rest of the different things, electronic media, television, everything. All of that is in the room right now. But without your electronics, you don't have one drop of it, do you? Without the electronics, you can't see, hear, or interact. It's absent. But you're here. What's wrong with me? I'm here. Ah, but it's missing. That's right. God's missing. That's the problem. And we think everything because we can do and think and say, we feel good about ourselves. Because it's all right. I'm not as bad as the other person, etc. And we do that. But we're all in the same pool. We're all in the same bag. Having the same stuff, that's all we can do, and that's all we have. So God, you make everything new. No question. New heavens, a new earth, a new heart, new work, everything, your new lump, everything. You make everything new. That's right. That's what you do. That's what you're going to do. That's what you have to do, God. So I want to be part of that. God, I want you to do, I want to be a new creature. I want to walk in newness of life. I want to put on the new man. I want to do all this. You tell me to do it. You've given it to me to do. So if I don't do it, it's my own stupid fault. No one else is to blame. I am. So who am I going to blame? Myself. That's all. It's my problem. So God, I got to look to you for all of these wonderful, wonderful things that you do in a most wonderful way. And you said it. You said it 100 different ways. We're to seek you with what? Seek the Lord with all your heart. What am I going to do with my heart? What am I going to do? I'm going to seek God with all my heart. I can do that because I have it. God, you saved my heart and made it new. It isn't new here, but boy, it's new here. And now, God, I seek you with all my heart. I can do it. I can either trust my heart or seek you with all my heart. And if I seek you with all my heart, not some of my heart, not part of my heart, not sometime, if I seek you with all my heart, I'm going to what? Find you. That's all I had to do. It wasn't some big trick. It was something you just do because it's God's way. Now, otherwise, who could ever get saved? How could God hold you responsible? Be ye holy for what? And he holds you responsible for that. Doesn't he? If you're saved, he holds you responsible to be holy. But I can't be holy. Yes, you can. That's why you got saved. Be ye holy, for I am holy. And God made it possible. Wow. So God, here we are. And what else? One other thing, we'll quit. Not only are we to seek the Lord with A-L-L, so then that puts us totally, I'm not trusting any apples, I'm going to, God, with all my heart, and I'm going to go, and you told me time and again, from Deuteronomy all the way forever, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and soul and mind and strength. I'm going to seek you with all my heart and love you with all my heart. And when I do that, I'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters. This is all dead stuff. That's me. It's my heart. But that isn't. I'm a new creature in Christ. And now God, you, without reading it all, God, you said, I will be their God. I will be their God. God, what is the hope of Israel? God. You are the hope of Israel. God, what is our blessed hope? You are God. Wow. So God, how tricky, it isn't tricky at all. It's just personally choosing to stop trusting yourself and trust God.